Mike Broomhead Show.
Phoenix PD, no confidence in the police chief. Obamacare is a tax, and you're about to find that out. And Ferguson, Missouri, a state of emergency. Welcome to the Mike Broomhead Show.
I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for being here. Happy Tuesday. 602-260-KFYI. 260-5394. Here are the big headlines. If you've been just getting out of bed this morning, want to know and catch you up on everything that's going on. Yesterday, the Phoenix Police Department, as we told you during the show at 10 a.m., had a joint press conference. PLEA is the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. That is the union that represents the vast majority of the rank and file patrol officers in the city of Phoenix. And then there is the PPSLA. That is the Phoenix Police Sergeants and Lieutenants Association. That is the organization that represents those two groups, the sergeants and the lieutenants. So that group, those two organizations, make up the vast majority of the street cops that are out there. Lieutenants, sergeants, and all of the officers, those are the people that you see on the streets every day and every night in the city of Phoenix. They had a joint press conference yesterday, and they are calling for a vote of no confidence in Chief Daniel Garcia. That is the police chief in the city of Phoenix. Not only because of what happened with a former police officer who committed suicide, his name is Craig Tiger, but because of a multitude of things. They've tried to work with him, and you're going to hear some audio a little bit later on in the show, some very strong words from the president of the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association, Joe Kluwer. Now, I know Joe pretty well, and he is not someone to use inflammatory language just to be inflammatory. He's not someone looking for headlines. So when he uses some strong language, I pay closer attention because Joe really isn't that kind of a guy. But what I want to get into, and there's so many of you here in the Valley that are law enforcement, former law enforcement, veterans of some kind of first responder or of the military. And I want to know what happens when the command staff loses its the subordinates, for lack of a better word. In pro sports, we talk about a coach losing the locker room. You know, one of the questions, the Diamondbacks had a horrible year, largely due to injuries. They had horrible injuries from the beginning of the season. Goldschmidt went out. Kurt Gibson lost his job. And one of the questions they asked of Kurt Gibson was, did Gibson lose the locker room? And most people said no. It was new regime of management came in, time to start over, and that was probably closer to the truth. But every time there's a question about a head coach, this year the San Francisco 49ers and Harbaugh, earlier in the year, with the discipline problems that were happening with that team, the questions were asked, has the coach lost the locker room? And even if it's not the coach's fault, in the end, the coach takes the fall if they've lost the locker room. So that's the question of Phoenix Police Chief Daniel Garcia. Because the PLEA, which is the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association, and the PPSLA, the Phoenix Police Sergeants and Lieutenants Association, had a joint press conference yesterday to show no confidence in the chief of police because a former officer who had been fired for being arrested for DUI, suffering from job-related PTSD, could not retain his job and ultimately committed suicide. So this is a huge deal for a major city when you have the organizations that represent all of the street cops. That's everyone on the street, from patrol officers to special detail and departments, whether it's homicide or robbery or auto theft or all of these, even computer crimes, all the way up through the rank of lieutenant, because that's considered to me to be rank and file in the sense of those are the people working on the street. Once you ascend past the rank of lieutenant, your upper management, you're not spending much time on the streets, and that's where they are. So in a moment, and I promise you, I want to take some phone calls on this one. 602-260-KFYI, 260-5394. I would love to hear from you. If you're in law enforcement, I want to know, especially if you want to call in anonymously, if you're a Phoenix officer, I'd love to find out if you've lost confidence in this chief. It is a discussion we have to have, but the discussion from yesterday was about PTSD and what I thought was an ignorant statement by the chief of police. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment.
Trusted news, valued opinions. This is News Talk 550 KFYI.
All right. 602-260-KFYI. I would love to hear from you on this. I'm going to go back and give you a little bit of the background on the story as it's been told to me, as I've heard it from many other people. But this is deeper than just this one story. I say he's the new chief, but he's been here for a couple of years now. It's Daniel Garcia is his name. He came from Dallas. They went outside of the agency when Jack Harris left as the chief of police at Phoenix PD. They had an interim police chief while they searched for a full-time chief. They went outside of the agency to hire somebody to come in to be the new police chief in Phoenix. And they chose Chief Garcia out of Dallas, Texas, where he was there. He was on the command staff in Dallas to be the new police chief. Made a couple of controversial decisions. Some officers liked it. A lot of officers hated it. He changed the uniforms, which doesn't sound like a big deal to a lot of people, but there's an expense when it comes to the uniforms. There were many officers. There were a lot of options that Phoenix PD had to choose from in how they dressed for work in patrol. And the patrol officers could use something that was more of a utility or a BDUs, or now in the military they're called ACUs, which are the work pants with the pockets on the sides. Then they would have the utility shirt, but they also had the bulletproof vest with the badge that was sewn on the vest that said Phoenix Police. But they also, on that utility vest, not only was it body armor, but they could carry a lot of the tools that they needed on the vest as opposed to on a belt. So they would have a taser, or they could have other things on the vest itself. But it did look like more of a military-style uniform. The pants were bloused inside of the boots, and many times they wore combat-style boots. And it looked military to some people. The chief came in and said, we are going to go back to a professional look where Phoenix police officers will either wear the long or short sleeve dark blue shirts with the metal, the stainless, I guess it's stainless steel, or the metal badge and a belt, a utility belt itself with the firearm, with a taser, with handcuffs or whatever else they needed on that belt. Classic Adam 12 looking, for those of you old enough to remember Adam 12, the Adam 12 looking police uniform. And a lot of the cops were outraged about the change and the arbitrary change from the office. So there has been some dissension for a long time, but it does go deeper than what seems to be the surface of the uniform stuff. Has the Phoenix Police Department, do they not respect the chief? Because now they're calling for a vote of no confidence. And the latest of these allegations, the things that have happened, is that an officer named Craig Tiger was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Well, subsequently, with doctor visits, he was diagnosed as suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, linked directly to a job-related shooting. So taking that evidence, taking that medical diagnosis to the chief, and they say, and I don't have anything in front of me that says yes or no, Phoenix police say there is a precedent that has been set, that there are instances where police officers have kept their jobs. Well, they're saying in this case, this officer should have kept his job because it was a work-related incident that caused the PTSD. The chief's office said no. They fired Officer Tiger. Craig Tiger committed suicide. It is a horrible story. No matter which side you fall on this issue, here is a man who was an exemplary officer for a long time, and his life had spun out of control to the point where taking his life seemed to be the best option. Phoenix PD, the rank and file officers, up to and including lieutenants, have decided as organizations that they are going to call for a vote of no confidence, which I don't think has any legal binding. It is just a show from the rank and file. They have no confidence in this chief. And I don't know Joe Kluwer to be politically motivated. I want you to hear Joe Kluwer's statement on this. Joe Kluwer is talking about his attempts to work with Chief Garcia and how it's impossible.
We have tried to work with this man. The problem is, he's an authoritarian. He is a megalomaniac.
So that's quite a charge. Now, I've said before, I don't know Chief Garcia. I have no axe to grind with the chief, and I'm not looking to step on his neck. I do know Joe Kluwer. I know Joe pretty well. He is not an inflammatory guy. He's not the kind of guy that says things just to be incendiary. He's not a flamethrower. So for him to say that and use that word, megalomaniac, there's got to be something seriously behind that from what I know of Joe Kluwer. He also says, he goes on to talk about how the chief failed Officer Tiger.
Even the current policy does not demand or dictate absolute termination. There's discretion. I feel he failed miserably in exercising that discretion with Officer Tiger.
Okay, so that's what he said. 602-260-KFY. I want to give some equal time here. And here's the deal. I know I'm new to the morning drive. If you disagree with me, I usually put you to the top of the caller list because I always want to give I want to be respectful of people that have an opposite opinion of mine. And Philip in Queen Creek wants to weigh in. Philip, I want to give you the floor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike. Good morning. Welcome to the morning show. Love you, buddy.
Thanks.
Listen, I agree with him. First of all, I thought it was a great move when he went from those BDU pants and everything. The police are a professional organization. I moved here from New York. There were six cops in Chandler. They all played on my father's football team, my father's baseball team, sorry. They wore ties. And I do remember Adam 12. I watch it every day. And that's what a cop is supposed to look like. We had problems with meth heads out here. And every time the MCSO came, they had more stuff than when I was in the Navy taking Navy SEAL Team 3 to Thailand. I'm not a SEAL. They were on my ship. But these guys looked more military than that. And as far as the policeman goes, that's a sad, sad thing that it got that far. But that's not the police chief's fault. If he came in and had a doctor's note and said, you have PTSD, I'm sure that doctor told him not to drink. That's not, you know, you don't go out and get DUIs, and even if you do drink, you don't drive. He broke rules.
And I agree with, and see, there's no disagreement here. Here's where I have a little bit of an issue, though, is I think the chief made a little bit of an ignorant statement, Philip, and here's what I mean by that, is when asked about this, he did say, we have programs available. If you need help, you've got to come to us. You've got to tell us that you need help, and there's plenty of things available. The problem with it is, Philip, with PTSD especially, a lot of times people that are suffering with PTSD have no idea what's going on. They have no idea that they have something that needs to be diagnosed until after they see somebody and someone explains to them, you're exhibiting these signs of PTSD. Why don't we go through the protocol to test you for this?
Yes, sir. I agree. And I don't know if you saw that show Bar Rescue, but last night on Bar Rescue, that man went and rescued a retired New York police officer with PT, the same exact situation. That's what prompted my call. The guy was in the same situation. And when they asked him about his PTSD and how come he didn't get help and stuff, he said because. He said the other policeman frown on it. You man up. You do not go do that. So, as far as I can say, his friends, because you know what? I worked in a clean room out here, big semiconductor place. But I had to look professional because I was an engineer. So my boss made us wear Dockers, dress shirts. The other people were allowed to wear shorts and stuff.
Yeah.
It sucked in that clean room. But I did it because that's what my boss said. I didn't, you know, and if you got PTSD that bad, and I'm not saying it's the police chief's fault, the union, I don't know, but somebody should have got that man off the job.
And I think more than anything else, and listen, Philip, I got to cut you short. I'm really sorry, but I got to cut you short because I'm way late for this news break. But listen, Philip, I agree with you. This is the conversation that we need to be having. What now? Who should have stepped in here? We're now talking about PTSD and first responders. I'm not making excuses for bad behavior. I'm saying if there's a legitimate concern, what are we doing to address those concerns? Philip said himself, officers frown on this. The same thing we heard about the military and PTSD. So I've got to pause here for this news break in just a moment. But when we return, please, 602-260-KFYI, I would love to hear your opinion on this. Because this is a problem, not just with veterans coming home from combat, but what about the people in the line of duty? What about the men and women, the first responders, who deal with these kinds of traumatic incidences right here on the streets of our cities and all over this.
Quick, concise news updates at 00 and 30. News Talk 550 KFYI.
All right, a little poetic justice we just saw on social media. The Drudge Report just tweeted out that a protest leader had his car stolen during an F the police rally.
Who's going to go ask for help?
Yeah. Who's he going to call now? I guess you need a cop now, eh, buddy?
F you. I'd like to file a complaint.
As long as you hear officer, you pig. You want to take a report from me? Oh, that's great. Talking about PTSD, and I think the only silver lining in this horribly dark cloud of this police officer taking his former police officer taking his own life is we are beginning to have a discussion now, not just about returning veterans and post-traumatic stress disorder, but how about first responders who deal with the same kind of trauma over long careers and the lack of help for them, and maybe the little bit of a taboo of even saying that they need to talk about it. Is that necessary? Because an officer named Craig Tiger lost his job, had a DUI, and lost his job even though he brought in medical documentation that it was a process of, or it was suffering from PTSD from a job-related shooting. Now, we played audio from a press conference yesterday from Phoenix Law Enforcement Association and the Phoenix Police Sergeant and Lieutenants Association, and the audio you heard was Joe Kluwer, who heads up PLEA. I said, I know Joe. He's not an incendiary guy, and he said some things about Chief Garcia. Well, he's on the line with us now. Joe, thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
Glad to be here, Mike.
Explain to me a little bit. You said some things about the chief yesterday. I know that this has been, you know, a tough decision for you as an organization to make. Explain to me why you've decided to do this and what you hope the outcome is.
Well, with regards to the vote of no confidence, I think what people have to look at is the past 2.5 years with Chief Garcia and the experience. If you remember, we did a survey at the one-year probationary mark, if you will, and that survey was very, very critical of the chief. We, both associations, the Sergeant Lieutenant Association, ourselves, everybody thought we were going to jump up and down and demand his head on a stick and, ask him to be dismissed. We didn't. We tried very, very hard for the past year and a half to try to work with him, and it just has gone nowhere. The decisions, the attitude, the demeanor of this chief is one that he is the imperial ruler of the police department. It's not a healthy environment for the employees, and not just the sworn officers, but even the civilian ranks suffer under his rule. And you're right, Mike. I'm not an incendiary guy. I don't relish the idea of having conflict with the police chief. It is because of that that we went that extra mile after that survey to try to make it work. You didn't hear a lot from us. We were trying internally to make it work. It's failed miserably. And we will be letting the community know in the next few weeks, of some of the other poor decisions that this police chief has made and why we have taken this historic event, this historic occurrence, where both associations in unison are calling for a vote of no confidence. Keep in mind that we represent the rank and file police officers. The Phoenix Police Sergeants and Lieutenants Association represents sergeants and lieutenants. That's 99% of the department.
And so when you, in regards to Officer Tiger, is it standard procedure that if an officer is arrested for DUI that they lose their job? And if not, why do you think this officer lost his job as opposed to other officers who've been in the same situation and haven't lost theirs? Can you speak to that?
Well, I can comment on that, Mike. I know of two other officers who had alcohol-related incidents and were not terminated. We have for years, for decades, provided officers that got in a little trouble what's called last chance agreements, where certain things were expected of them, like get treatment for alcoholism, go do this, go do that. And if they don't, then they're terminated. That's exactly what should have happened in this case. I do not know why Chief Garcia made the decision, other than he has no heart, he has no care for these officers, and that is what they feel, because that is what I hear daily I don't know how anybody could sit there and listen to this story, not recognize that it is clearly a line of duty injury, and be so callous. So for the chief to stand up there and say, well, because of the criminal conduct, that's BS, because he's done this before. He, even to this day, Mike, and I'll bring and show you a copy of the policy, termination is not mandatory. It's an option. It's on the table, but you don't have to do it, as is evidenced by the fact that he hasn't done it in the past.
Well, two things that I'm curious about with this. One is the incident in which caused this, the shooting, or what happened with Officer Tiger. Was that even taken into consideration of causing the PTSD with him and the chief's? I mean, it just seems odd to me that the chief made the statement he did. I wanted to get your comments on this. I thought it was odd that the chief said there are programs available, but you have to come to us and let us know you need some help. When it comes to PTSD especially, one of the signs is that, you know, it's hard for someone to explain what's going on with them. They don't even realize sometimes there's something to be diagnosed that's happening.
Right. That's exactly what happened in this case. Nobody knew, because Craig didn't share it with anybody until the arrest. What it does is it clearly points out the chief's either ignorance or indifference to PTSD as it relates to a job-related injury. And all of those wonderful things that the chief and the city likes to espouse that we have available to police officers, yeah, they're there, but clearly they're not effective. And most importantly, what people need to know is that Chief Danny V. Garcia denied Officer Tiger that help. That is why I and so many officers, and frankly so much of the community, is incensed about this issue, is it was so plainly obvious what the right thing to do, what the humane thing to do, what the responsible thing to do, what the kind thing to do, the chief couldn't do. And that's the problem that we have with this chief. We do not believe that he has our best interest at heart. We do not believe that he has the skill set necessary to be an effective leader of the Phoenix Police Department. And this unfortunate situation is just the straw that broke the camel's back. There are many other poor decisions that have been made by this police chief, and we're tired of it.
Well, Joe, I got to tell you, I appreciate you. I believe you're a level-headed person. I've never heard you say incendiary things, and for you to make such strong statements, I'm glad you came on to clarify, because I know you're not an incendiary guy. So I look forward to seeing how this plays out in the coming weeks and months, and I hope you'll come back on once this vote is taken and let me know what the results are and how it goes forward.
I will, Mike, and what I would like to do, I would like to implore every citizen of Phoenix that is upset by this to contact the council, contact the mayor, contact City Manager Ed Zucker, phone, email, in person, and let them know how you feel about your Phoenix police chief and how he treats his officers. I think most people find it unacceptable.
And I do too, and to hear you say these things makes me take a second look at all this as well. So I appreciate it, Joe.
Thank you.
All right, that's Joe Clure. He is the head of PLEA, the Phoenix Law Enforcement Association. We'll be back here, get you to traffic in 60 seconds.